Welcome back to another episode. I am Keeler Bryson, your host and founder of Teachable Life Moments. Today, I want to talk about intellectual humility. There is a personality psychologist at the Max Planck Institute for Human Development. They were trying to get their peers to publicly and willingly admit when they were wrong. And they came up with the term intellectual humility for this project. And intellectual humility is basically the recognition that things you believe in might in fact be wrong. And intellectual humility is all about entertaining the possibility that you might be wrong. And it's also about being open to learning from the experience of others. So we all know the uncomfortable feeling of suddenly realizing that a mistake has been made and that the mistake is our own. You know, we're at fault, you know, or we've done something wrong. And we know that feeling, that uncomfortable feeling of realizing, oh my God, I made a mistake, or oh my goodness, I may be wrong. You can admit the mistake. You have, you know, this is one choice you have. You can admit the mistake, or you could, you know, go ahead and deal with whatever consequences might be forthcoming, or you can try to hide or deny your faults or your mistake. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever admitted or noticed that you were at fault for something and, you know, you didn't really want to admit it and you felt that strong urge to try to hide it or deny it? It usually feels a lot easier to hide the truth. You know, there is something about being human that makes us hesitate to admit fault, even when it's so obvious to us and everyone else that we're wrong. I don't know what the big deal is. Why is it so hard to admit when we are wrong or when we have made a mistake? You know, today's episode is basically going to be one of those episodes that make us look deep within ourselves to do a deep assessment of whether or not we're the type of person who struggles with admitting our own fault. How do you deal with admitting you're wrong, and how do you deal with the mistakes that you make? You know, typically you may find yourself, if you're in a relationship with someone, it's definitely going to come up in a situation like that, because usually two people, they're not going to agree on everything. And at some point, one or the other is going to call the other person out about something they've done wrong or a mistake that they made. And if you're like a parent, it's certainly going to come up with a parent when you may have to call out a child about something that they have done that's wrong or a mistake that they have made. And usually there is some sort of resistance. And usually the situation, it goes from bad to worse when the party who's at fault will not admit that they are wrong. Struggling to admit our own fault, whether it was a major breach or a minor mess up, you know, it does not serve us well when we're struggling to admit it. And when you think back on your relationships and any type of situation that you've encountered where there was a person that did something wrong or made a mistake and they were struggling to admit it, you have to admit it did not serve them well. Not only can it sour, you know, your closest relationships, but not at being able to admit when you're wrong can be detrimental to your own personal growth. Because in this life, we are going to encounter moments where we are going to be at fault. We're going to do some things wrong. We're going to make some mistakes. And we have got to be the type of person that does not struggle with admitting when we are wrong. We've got to learn to be mature, and how we have to learn to be savvy in the exercising tips to save relationships. You'd be surprised, and maybe not, at how many close relationships have been damaged simply because someone absolutely refused, even with a preponderance of evidence, they refused to admit that they were wrong or that they made a mistake. So first I want to talk about, why is it so hard to put aside the ego to acknowledge our wrongdoing? Because at the end of the day, the inability to admit when we are wrong or that we've made a mistake, it boils down to pride and that ego, that stubborn ego. Some of the reason why people can't admit their fault is simply due to a lack of self-awareness. This can be a pervasive and ongoing issue, or simply a matter of having a blind spot. A lot of times we see this happen when we're dealing with the subject of racism. The person that's been discriminated against can call the person out that demonstrated racist behavior or language. And when they call them out, the person is oblivious to it. They'll deny it because they are not aware that they demonstrate racist behavior, or that they may have said something that could be racist in tone or interpreted as being racist. In other words, they have a blind spot. They have no self-awareness because maybe they're not culturally competent. And as a result, they say and do things that are offensive due to their lack of self-awareness. Some other reasons why people find it so hard to put aside pride and ego when they've done something wrong is that people basically don't want to be embarrassed or feel shame or guilt, or they don't want to feel like their character is being challenged. Again, we're dealing with pride and we're dealing with ego and shame. Nobody wants to be humiliated or embarrassed because of something they've done or a mistake that they have made. And so to protect themselves from being embarrassed, they struggle with waving out the guilty flag of saying, yes, I did it. And then following up with additional steps to help repair the situation, to help correct the situation. You know, what people end up doing when they deny fault is they're overcompensating. Basically, they're refusing ownership of their mistakes in order to protect their self-image. Again, we're dealing with ego and pride, and, you know, they think, oh, I'm never wrong. And a lot of times, quite honestly, we see this with parents. You know, we all have experienced it where our parents, we've all felt like they just think that they're right on everything. They're not right about everything. And, you know, as a parent, yeah, that feeling can rise up where you feel like you're protecting your image as a parent, like you can't be wrong. And you're thinking, surely this young kid cannot be right over an adult. And sometimes as parents, we do that to try to save an image. And sometimes you'll find a man may do that because he's trying to protect his self image of manhood and masculinity, and seeing that if he admits that he's wrong, it may be looked at as being weakness or something. But when we try to protect our self image by not taking ownership of our mistakes or admitting that we're wrong, we enter what is called cognitive dissonance. And basically that is an unconscious defense system that kicks in. And we do that to protect our ego. It protects us, but oh my God, it just continues to damage and ruin the relationship with the person that we really need to be apologizing to. But we, for some reason, we just decide that we don't want to be wrong. We refuse to, even with the evidence staring us right in the face. You know, when people struggle to admit fault, even when they're aware on some level of their own about the wrongdoing, they often worry that admitting that they're wrong is going to show some sort of imperfection, or is going to indicate some grave character deficit. And like I said before, they don't want to appear weak, or they don't want to become unlikable, or they don't want to be considered inherently a bad person. you know, you would think that, oh my God, Keela, is all of this really going on in the heads of people who refuse to admit when they are wrong? Yes, all of this is happening. In fact, it's happening quite quickly. That's just how fast the brain can process information. But this episode is dissecting it to help us understand just how meticulous and deep this process is. There's a lot of trying to protect self when we deny that we're wrong or we resist. I mean, we're arguing, we're swearing, and some people start using bad language. And I mean, and they're willing to risk the relationship just to save themselves, you know, from being embarrassed or considered weak or considered a bad person. Denying our own wrongdoing frustrates our peers, our colleagues, our family members, and our partners. And when we do it, we cause people to grow distant, you know, and they end up isolating themselves from us, which stifles our personal growth. Nobody wants to be around people that just cannot admit when they're wrong. You know, when was the last time you hung out with someone or you witnessed someone that refused to admit that they were wrong? They will lie. They will refuse. They will resist. They will become angry and sometimes even violent before they will admit that they are wrong. And thereby is how I came up with the name intellectual humility, because we need some humility when we find ourselves letting ego and pride take over. We've got to humble ourselves and have intellectual humility, which is entertaining the possibility that we may be wrong. Admitting we are wrong shows others that we are compassionate, we are empathetic, sympathetic, and we are good listeners. And it also shows that we are capable of being objective about ourselves and that we realize we're not perfect and that we realize that we're not always right. And when you can admit that about yourself, then it helps you to be in a place where you can protect relationships. It shows that you admit that you have flaws and that you realize that it's okay to be vulnerable with people. Because when we are vulnerable with people, when we admit our flaws, it opens the doors for meaningful conversation and relationship growth. Just think about the last time you've argued with maybe your partner or your husband or whomever, and just think about how smoothly it ended when you admitted you were wrong or that you made a mistake. Think how easily it resolved itself when you took ownership. And then think about how horrible it turns out when we resist, when we're stubborn and prideful and full of ourselves. We could go days giving each other the silent treatment. And some people end up having divorce, and or their children end up running away from home, or the parents end up putting the children out, and or supervisors end up losing good employees, all because people can't admit when they're wrong. So how do we admit when we're wrong? Now that we know, you know, what happens, the bad negative impact of not admitting when we're wrong, how do we correct this? Because, you know, we are humans. We've got to interact with each other in the workplace, in families, in public. And we've got to learn the art of intellectual humility, how to admit when we're wrong, how to entertain the possibility that we don't know everything. We're not always right. Although we tend to think we are, you know, we are not. And we have to realize that we have the potential to be full of flaws. So I want to talk to you about 7 steps for admitting when we're wrong. And this will help us, whether it's a business matter or on a personal level. The first thing we want to do is acknowledge the mistake directly. You know, don't add to the mistake already made by ignoring it in hopes that it'll go away, or ignoring it, you know, thinking that if I ignore it, then it'll seem less important. No, ignoring it is not going to make it go away or seem less important. You've got to be straightforward. You've got to be direct, brief, and honest. And you've got to acknowledge that you messed up. You know, and then when you're acknowledging the mistake directly, state specifically what you did and how much you regret it. And that'll help the person, the other person, to realize and see that you truly understand what the issue is. Because sometimes people will try to admit a mistake, and then they start telling you what it is they did, and it has nothing to do with what you're calling them out on. And it'll prove to you that they have no clue. And so you want to detail it out. Be specific what you did wrong and how much you regret it. Number two, we want to take responsibility, which is sometimes so hard for people to do, because our automatic response as a human is to jump into a self-defense mode. You know, and at no time is this response stronger than when we are forced to acknowledge our own shortcomings. You know, we want to like put up that defense and be like, oh, no, don't come for me today. I'm not in the mood today. But we cannot, you know, put up that defense. Take responsibility and resist that urge to find someone to blame, because this is usually the time where we're looking for someone to blame instead of taking responsibility. But don't look for someone to blame, even if it's justified. You know, don't be pointing fingers or trying to use a circumstance to make an excuse. You know, have you ever experienced that, where a person look like they just trying to talk their way out of it? And for the life of them, they are not going to admit that they're wrong. But their minds are thinking 1,000 miles an hour of a circumstance or an excuse to help get them out of it. Don't do that, because it only makes you sound like you care more about getting out of trouble than really dealing with the problem you caused. And nobody wants to deal with, you know, you, me, if that's how we're behaving. Take responsibility. That is the mature thing. I'm learning so many people are not mature these days. And this episode and the last episode is challenging us to, you know, self-develop and to mature and to grow in these deep issues that are destroying relationships and that are, you know, preventing God from really blessing us at the level that He has in mind. The third thing that we want to do is apologize. You know, we've learned that our parents taught us that a long time ago, to apologize. You know, these two little words, I'm sorry, they need to be heard by the person who's bearing the brunt of your mistake. You know, if you don't want to say I'm sorry, because I know some people have a problem with saying that after I'm or I am saying that I'm sorry. If you have a problem with that, say please forgive me, because it shows you understand this person has a choice of whether or not to forgive the mistake. And we have to realize that they have a choice. Just because we say please forgive me doesn't mean that they have to forgive you. But if you do it right, I can guarantee you that they will. When we say, please forgive me, it acknowledges that you need forgiveness. It puts the responsibility on the offended person, forcing them to either accept the apology or start to move on, or they could choose to ignore or refuse your apology and leave you with nothing else to do. But, you know, in reality, nobody wants to be a bad guy and refuse to accept an apology. You know, I don't know too many people that's going to just refuse it, especially if you've done it right and sincerely. Now, if you don't verbally or directly apologize, then the person that has been hurt, they don't really have to make the choice to forgive you and move on. Sometimes people, you know, expect us to just forgive. But hey, you've got to do it right, because what is done from the heart, it will reach the heart and they'll be compelled. They'll feel the warmth in your apology. Be sincere. And don't be sarcastic, because some people have a bad habit of doing that. Number four, we want to offer a practical way to make up for the mistake. You know, sometimes, like, for example, if you've broken something or lost something or damaged somebody's property, you know, you should offer to pay for it. If you've hurt someone that you're close to on a deep level, you might offer to go to counseling together. This is a way that you can correct it. For example, a marriage, if there's some infidelity, then a practical way to make up for the mistake is to go to counseling together. You know, if you're at a loss for what to offer, you can ask them, what can I do to make this up to you? You know, when you do that, oh my goodness, you talk about buttering that person up and making them feel really, really valued. that you are going through these steps and then offering to make it up to them some kind of way. Yeah, you're breaking all that stubbornness that may be in them to refuse your apology. You're breaking that down. Number five, give the person time to think about the issue and to respond. Give them time to think about all that you've said. The deeper the hurt, the more difficult it is for the person to let go of it. And you need to remember that. Because sometimes you could have deeply hurt somebody and you think they're going to get over it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Then you're sadly mistaken. The deeper the hurt, the more time they need to let go of it. Don't force an immediate response. You know, give them time to process and heal. People need time to think. You know, people need time to let go of the feelings of offense. Make your direct acknowledgement, take responsibility and apologize, and then offer a way to make amends. And then you're going to just step back and say nothing else. You'll just give them time to think, and then you let them know, hey, I'm going to give you time to think this over. Let them know that I'm not expecting you to rush to a decision or to rush and say you forgive me or whatever. I'm just going to give you time to think it over. And then you can just like say, how about we get together on such and such date? And then we can talk more about this, because I really want to follow up with you to make sure that we're good and that you're okay and that we're in a good place. Number six, listen and respond. Listen and respond. So what we're going to do first, we're going to listen, then respond. We're not going to be interrupting. We're not going to be trying to justify. We're not going to be listening just to have a response. We're going to be listening to understand what it is that they feel and how it hurt them. During your initial conversation, after you decide that date and that time to follow up, you're going to just sit there and let the other person talk. You know, because sometimes what people need most is just to share how deeply they were hurt or to talk about the repercussions of the mistake that was made by you. I know venting isn't always fun to listen to because it can be draining. But at the end of the day, it does help people sort through their feelings and to get to the bottom line, which is where you both need to be in order to fix the mistake and to move on. There has to be a clearing. There has to be an understanding. There has to be an airing of the issue. And so listen and then respond. And you want to be gracious. You want to be humble. And you want to be kind in your response. You don't want to say anything that's going to take what appears to be going in the right direction, then you make the wrong response. And then, oh my God, all the work and progress that you had made gets destroyed because you say the wrong thing. We want to be sensitive to the person, especially if we are the one who is wrong and made the mistake. And then number seven, we want to do what we said we would do. You know, you said you would do this, then that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to find ourselves doing. Because it makes no sense to apologize and then go this extra effort to fix the situation. And then we go right back out there and do the same thing. You know, you apologize, or you tell your parent, I'm going to come home on time, or I'm going to pick up my grades. And then the next time report cards come out, the grades don't went down lower than they were before. Do what you say you're going to do. Hold yourself accountable so that the other person doesn't. You know, if you've offered a way to make up for the mistake and it's been accepted, then you need to follow through quickly with no excuses. You know, failing to do what you said you would do will only bring the mistake back up and then resurrect those unpleasant thoughts and feelings and emotions that the person had. And it's going to make it impossible for you to be taken seriously when you try to apologize again. You know, have you seen that where a person has been repeatedly offended and the person that is the offender continues to go back and try to apologize, and that person just looks at them like, you are a joke. You know, you said that the last 10 times. So how can I take you seriously this time? And so these are the steps. You know, I know we deal with people every day, and that's not going to go away. We're going to have to interact with one another. And we've got to get better and mature at admitting when we are wrong and when we've made mistakes and utilizing intellectual humility. Thinking that we know it all is such a big mistake and mentality to have. We always want to approach people and their perspective with an open heart and with open ears, because we all have blind spots. I mean, I'm certified in diversity and inclusion. And one of the things that I see over and over is that people don't realize that they have blind spots. People are so confident in what they believe to be true and reality. And they have no consideration usually for the perspective of other folks, the culture, the traditions of others. And as a result, they bring their culture, their perspectives and traditions, and think everybody else operates with that same teaching. And that's not always the case. And so I hope today's episode has helped you in some way to think about how you admit when you're wrong, and to give you the tools to help you help others process how to improve admitting when they're wrong. It's a conversation that needs to be had. It's an art to it. And once you learn it, execute those seven steps, you're going to have a different outcome. Humble yourselves. This is Keeler Bryson, and you've been listening to the Teachable Life Moments with Keeler Bryson podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you haven't already done so, please go and rate and review our podcast, comment, share, let us know how it has impacted you, encouraged you in some way. All right. I want to thank you for joining me, and thank you for listening to me. And I will see you at the next episode.